Wyatt Hobbit and Norvell, good morning for
good morning.
You.
Good morning, everybody.
Wyatt, today's a big day for us. You know why?
Why?
Because this is the first video that our 10 listeners, no, I'm just kidding, we have way more than that and love you all, are going to be able to see us. So we're going to be on YouTube today. Woo!
Hello, everybody.
Wyatt, we have some big stuff to talk about. I thought this was going to be an episode where we were just going to cover basketball, but football is making their presence known.
Yep, every single week we're like, you know, let's segue into basketball now. Baseball and softball around the corner. Let's show some love. And then Norvell's like, no, another transfer.
Another person. Another transfer. Another person staying. Another website being launched. It's perfect.
Yeah, no, it's...
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Just pick it up.
I think that the first most exciting thing is ESPN launching its way too early 2023 top 25 at 8 a.m. after the national championship. And Florida State's at number 4?
What? Excuse me? Ahead of Alabama, by the way.
Yeah, they're done.
It's amazing. I mean... We finished at, what, 11 in the top 25 in the AP top 25, and then ESPN says, yeah, you're going to jump 7 in the offseason? Unbelievable.
It's beautiful. It's so exciting. And I just, like, I don't even know what to say. We're tied for 7th in the betting odds for winning the Natty. And just being number 4 is, I don't know, super exciting. And obviously a big reason for that is because our man, number 5, Jared Verse, decided he's coming back. This video goes hard.
It does go hard. I'm speechless.
Are you kidding me?
We're talking about a top 10 draft pick saying, you know what? Let's run it back.
I am so excited about this. And like, I feel like there's so many things that contribute to him wanting to come back. I mean, first, I was super surprised. First, I want to go back as well. Like, I'm super surprised because of the fact that he tweeted that it was one of the best decisions he ever made. I'm going to read it. This was... the 6th. So today's the 11th. A year ago tomorrow, I made one of the best decisions in my life and came to Florida State University. That went by so fast. However, he spelled it B-Y-E, which left a lot of speculation. I went through the comments. People have some funny things to say, but also I think people thought about it how I thought about it as well, of like, he chose by very selectively. He is going to go into the draft. He had overwhelming support for whatever he wanted to do. But some good tweets. We got Matt Oak telling him to run it back. We got this cool little dude with him. Are you kidding me?
Hezbollah.
I love this. And then Jeffrey Phillips asked him a very key question. You going to make Trey find another roomie? Come on, man. Hashtag top 10 NFL draft 2024. FSU national champs 2023. And then someone else, Derek Michael, said he said bye, B-Y-E, instead of bye, B-Y. He gone. Good luck to you in the NFL. So that was my initial thought as well. Okay. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's cool. We accept that. We got a lot of really good transfers. We're going to be able to make it work. But then also, Trey Benson was in on this whole thing because he's got a series of tweets going around at the same time. Okay, so at 5:23 that morning that Jared Verse dropped that video, about 5 hours later, Trey Benson put the blushing and the eye emojis, and that got a lot of traffic, almost 2,000 likes. Everybody's wondering, what's he talking about? What's going down? And then after Jared Verse drops that video, Trey Benson puts the blushing face again, same face from the first tweet, and says, roommates for another year. That's just so fun.
Cryptic tweet game on lock for Jared Verse.
how much fun they must have had just planning that and executing that, and obviously the fans going wild, and then Florida State gets picked at number 4 for the 2023 season. I think it's pretty huge.
I appreciate their, you know, their creativity and their them being in sync, but goodness gracious, take us off the emotional roller coaster. Don't do all this to us next year, please.
It was intense. It was intense. And honestly, like, I did not think that there was one chance that he was coming back. But now that I think about it a little bit more, like, you know, we talked about this yesterday too, that yeah, he can go into the draft and be a top 10 pick, but once you go into the league, you know, it's a whole nother ball game. And with this team, he knows he has the chance to win a national title. And that is just such a bigger stamp that he is then able to put on the college game than if he were to go into the draft now.
Absolutely. I think with NIL and with how much money guys are making in the NFL now, there's just such an emphasis on get to the college level, play 3 years, go to the league. And for someone like Jared Verse, who is a leader on this team and has completely changed the culture around at Florida State and been a part of that, I think for him personally, I just, this is me speculating, but I feel like he wants to come back here and really finish the job. He knows what team's going to be around him. He knows Jordan Travis is obviously coming back. So that set the tone early in the offseason that, hey, guys, we want to go back and win this national championship and compete for it. And so for him to come back and put a stamp on his Florida State career, I think that's what's probably going through his mind. Like, let's go finish this thing.
Yeah, I'm selfishly speaking, it couldn't be a better time for us to have this podcast. Are you kidding me? This is amazing. You know, 4 weeks ago, we didn't really know what we were going to be up against with this, but now, like, we just have this whole team and then some for next year, and I mean, it's really, really something. And I want to talk about too, Florida State also yesterday launching jtravforheisman.com. I think that's incredible. I think that shows that Florida State believes in this quarterback to win a Heisman, and I think that it's also a little bit of a okay, if anybody's out here saying that, you know, Jay Trav isn't a Heisman contender, or that he is, but, you know, people don't believe in it because of the fact that maybe the ACC isn't the hardest conference in football. Well, this website has all of his numbers, all of his highlights. You can go there. You can see it all. JTravForHeisman.com.
Yep. And when it's all in front of you, I mean, there are some stats in there. I don't have every stat in front of me, but you read some of these and you're like, wait, he holds what record?
Yeah.
He holds like 4 or 5 records at Florida State already. And he's like, you know, 2 or 3 spots behind some of the all-time greats at Florida State, including quarterbacks and running backs. His rushing stats are up there with some of the best running backs in school history. And I just think that, again, casual fans, people who aren't Florida State fans, they don't know this stuff about Jordan Travis.
Right.
You know, they know USC's Caleb Williams. They know Ohio State's CJ Stroud. They know all these bigger names that are out nationally. But people who aren't from this area and don't know Florida State, they may not know that Jordan has had an amazing season and has had a great career here. So having this website out there, I think, educates everybody else and lets people know that, hey, we got ourselves a guy who could win a Heisman on this team.
Yeah. I don't know why everybody chooses to sleep on us, but this website is a point that, okay, you can try to sleep on us, but you could just go to this website. You can check out everything you need to see in 10 seconds. And then you can let us know if you should still sleep on us and our quarterback.
All right. And then if you're not impressed, then you shouldn't watch football.
Period. How about a fun new segment where we look at the biggest plays of the week? You picked your top 3. I can't wait to see them. And I think we're about to get into some basketball.
Yep. Turn the page from football to basketball, who both teams right now, Alex, men's and women's, are starting to find their stride. Women's have been dominating people every single week. Still don't have a number next to their name, but we'll get to that later. Starting off with number 3, let's take a look at Taniya Latson going coast to coast, splitting defenders here against Clemson in the kickout for 3 to Jazz Massengill. This Florida State team has been doing this all year. They go on to beat Clemson by 31 last Thursday, Alex. Then later on Sunday, down 3, 40 seconds to go, Bajetti from the corner ties it, goes to overtime. Huge shot from Bajetti.
Yeah, I think that her going 4-for-7 from the three, shooting 57%. When she's been shooting 14% all season, her coming out having a career game, 26 points, I couldn't be happier for her.
And finally, at number one on the men's side, Noel's taking on Georgia Tech, up 12 in the second half. Jalen Worley, meet me at the rim.
Yay.
My goodness. The stare down, a little weak, not going to lie. Naheem McLeod loves it. Jalen Worley, I'm giving you an A-plus on the dunk, but my goodness, a C-minus on the celebration, my friend. Give me some hype.
I think he was a little shocked himself.
Trent Forrest is somewhere just smiling down on Jalen Worley, thinking, you're the man.
Oh, yeah. I think that Jalen Worley coming out and doing that, obviously we've been waiting for him to really emerge, but he's finally really stepping up. He had a great game, not only, you know, making shots, he shot a three, he's had five assists that game. He's really stepping up at that point guard position, and man, they're figuring it out.
Yep, and Leonard Hamilton, 600th career win against Georgia Tech. A guy that has been one of the best coaches in the ACC since he got here. And listen, the Noles looked like they were dead in the water a couple months ago, and here we are, 3-0 at home in the ACC, going to Wake Forest tonight, and starting to find their stride.
Yeah, 3-0 in the ACC at home, I think, is pretty baller. That's why I wore this shirt today. Okay, just to remind everybody that we were the ACC champs only 2 years ago, okay? But I think as well, like you said, you know, they thought we were kind of dead in the water. And I think I would have lost that bet 5 weeks ago if you had said that we were going to figure it out and be playing pretty quality basketball now here. And we got something really big to celebrate. You know what it is. Baba Miller returns tonight at 9 p.m. versus Wake Forest.
Couldn't be more excited about Baba making his college debut, a player who is as highly touted as anybody coming from overseas, from Spain. He's played international ball at a high level since he was 15, 16 years old. Now gets to finally lace it up with his teammates at Florida State. And yeah, I'm very excited to see how he changes our team and what our team looks like with him in the rotation.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to see him as well, but I do have a little bit of nervousness about it. You know, I think it's hard for, you know, a freshman to come in and try to acclimate to a system in the middle of the season, in the middle of conference play. You know, you want him to come in and be an immediate impact and play to the skill that we know he has. And I have no doubt that he'll be able to do so, but I do think that it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for the entire team. And like I said, you know, it's hard, you know, you're not watching, you're playing now. And I'm just interested to see, because now, you know, our team's finally starting to really look like a team that's gelling in a competitive team in a competitive conference. And you're going to throw another star player into the mix. I think it's going to be great. But I do think that we might see a little bit of an adjustment period for Baba.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think basketball is one of those weird sports where it's more chemistry than anything else. And you got to kind of find your groove, and it's like a smooth jazz, you know, you gotta make sure everything sounds good and plays right. But, you know, Baba's game, from what I understand, is very European, very NBA style, where he's an almost 7 foot guy that can dribble, that can pass, that can shoot. He can kind of do everything well. So I think his style of game is going to just ease right in. I think just the nerves are going to probably be an issue early, but once he gets settled in, I think he's going to find his groove. And I think this team has been waiting for him to come back since the season began. They can't wait to have him out there with them.
Yeah, I'm really excited. He tweeted a couple days ago, officially free. And, you know, that's just got to be such a great feeling to, you know, being a freshman, only 18, 19 years old, and, you know, being suspended by the NCAA. I can't imagine, honestly, how hard that must have been for him, especially when this was something, you know, that took place 6-7 years ago now. For him to have to sit and watch and know that his team is struggling and expect to come in and you know, fit right into the program, and now have to sit and wait for 16 games. So, I mean, I couldn't be just more happy for him that he is finally able to come in and play some basketball.
Yep, the suspension was bogus. We're talking about a kid who is getting punished for something that happened when he was in high school, when he flew over here to play in a tournament. He got his travel paid for. And this is before he was being recruited by Florida State. This is before he was even in conversation to play college basketball.
Was he 6 feet tall yet? We don't know. He could have gone. Yeah,
we don't know. But a bogus suspension by the NCAA, in my opinion. But, you know, it's over now, and I'm looking to make the most of it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Coach Ham says about it. If he did say anything about it, we should get it in here. I'm sure he's calm, cool, and collected, but he's got to be excited to get another scholarship player back in the mix.
Absolutely.
Women's basketball taking on NC State tomorrow at home on the network. I think it's going to be pretty exciting. Tania only scored 10 points at Boston College, her lowest all season, maybe the lowest she'll ever score. She missed a chance to tie that historical 9 straight ACC Rookie of the Week awards. But Wyatt, I think she's going to still set a single season record for all the accolades that she's going to acquire throughout this season nonetheless.
Yep, Tania Latson, a tough shooting night at Boston College, but again, had a chance to tie the game, or sorry, win the game at the buzzer. And, you know, she's playing great. And the thing I love about Tania, and we talked about this before, where if her shot's not falling, she still finds a way to impact the game. Whether it's by playing within the offense, passing the ball, defending at a high level. I think she's leading the team in steals. So she does everything on the basketball court that you need, which again, for a freshman is very impressive. I'm very excited about Thursday night's game. Number 10 NC State coming to town. They're a good basketball team. They've been the standard in the ACC. They've won 3 consecutive ACC tournament titles. Coach Westmore has built an absolute amazing program up there in Raleigh, and it's going to be a tough test for Florida State. This is a team that's very similar to us, where they kind of have 5, 6, 7 players that can all kill you. You know, they run a very similar system to us in the sense that everybody contributes. You don't really have one player that's leading the team in scoring by a lot. Everybody kind of is in the same 8 to 9 points a game. Everybody grabs about 5 rebounds. So it's a real team effort. So it could put a lot of stress on Florida State, but again, a great test for us early in the season, and I'm excited to see what it looks like.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, we've played some competitive teams already. You know, obviously losing that game in overtime Sunday night or Sunday afternoon was tough. But, you know, if you have Tania playing like her usual self, we're actually winning by 15 points. So I think that that's something to consider. And I think as well, you know, because we've played teams that are competitive up until this point, I don't think they're nervous about it. You know, I think that we play fantastic basketball at home, and it's really exciting that we have the privilege of this game being at home. So I have all the faith in the Noles.
Yep, absolutely. Coach Wyckoff has, and Coach Bill Ferreira as well, put together one of the nastiest offenses I've seen in a long time. They're leading the ACC in scoring. They're beating people by an average of 20, 25 points a game. Mm-hmm. And again, when we talk about snubs,
dude,
not being a top 25 team at this point in the season, I personally think is a slap in the face. I know Coach Wyckoff doesn't worry about it. She's just like, she's using it to fuel the fire and make the players just kind of just keep their hard hat on and keep working. But I mean, my goodness, can I get 25? Can I get 24? I'm not asking for a top 10.
It's disrespectful. Let's look at that poster that the fans had up in the tuck the other day. That was good and says everything that needs to be said about how this team is not getting what they deserve in the rankings.
Bravo, ma'am. You're saying what everybody's thinking.
Loved that poster.
Yeah. I mean, she's right. She's 100% right. I mean, we have a top 5 scorer in the nation. We have the highest scoring offense in the conference.
Not to mention KK Timpson, even though she's had a couple of games where she's not quietly averaging her double-double anymore, she's still sitting at the top of the conference in many statistics.
Yep. KK's had as good of a year-to-year improvement as I've seen. Really stepping into that role as one of the top players on this team. Coach Wyckoff has empowered her from the second she got here. And I mean, she's really just starting to put it together. What she brings on the defensive end of the floor is huge for us. And again, against NC State, which has several bigs, it's going to be important for her to get off early. I think against Boston College, she got into early foul trouble. She had 2 fouls early in the first quarter. So she had to sit for most of the first half. So if she can stay out of foul trouble, I think we even win that game at Boston College. So just keeping her, you know, from getting out of position on defense and playing disciplined and hopefully we get a whole game out of her against NC State.
Yeah, and also, you know, if Sarah Bajetti can keep this momentum, stay scoring, and then also if Taylor O'Brien can come back, get ready, you know, really back to her true self that she was before that lower leg injury, if she can come back in and start scoring again like we know that she can, I think that this team is unstoppable, and I think it's only a matter of time.
Yes, Taylor O'Brien is a 16-point-a-game scorer last year at Bucknell, and she was averaging 16 a game in the first three games of the season before she got hurt. So to your point, I mean, just another offensive piece that we just haven't really had at full strength yet. And when she does get there, I mean, this team's going to get even scarier.
Yeah, and by the way, we only have three losses on the season, both of them, two of them in overtime, one of them to UConn, which we don't even have to count as a loss because they're UConn.
They're UConn. What'd you expect? Also tonight, Latson fouled out like 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So thanks,
yeah,
ref.
Yeah, we could have trusted that she would have put at least five of those 8 points up that we missed against them.
Right.
Well, the Noles, all of them on great roll. It's a great time to be podcasting. I couldn't be more excited that we are going to be able to be seen on the YouTube this episode 8. It's been real. It's been fun. As always, go Noles.
Go Noles.